Time Radio, your home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems. 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. It's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios. It's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We'll be discussing this past week's race at Martinsville, and we'll hear from the winner. I don't even know if anybody knows who won the race, but
Was there a winner?
There was Kyle
Busch. There was a winner.
Yeah, later in the show, we'll discuss this week's race at Texas. Friend of the show, Alex Hayden with MRN, joins us at 5:30. And as always, we'll share our power rankings and picks to win. We've got all that and much, much more on today's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm your host, playing injured today, Jamie Kyle.
That could have been the... I'm not going to say that. You gave it your all.
Trooper. That's what
Trooper
it is.
Trooper is a great word. I'm glad Sean Whitfield could get here.
When he could.
And take part in the show today.
I will say,
good afternoon, gentlemen.
It is afternoon. You know, he did have to turn my microphone up for the first time ever, I think, in show
history.
The first
time ever that has happened.
I tell you what, I know how those guys with UPS feel when you feel like you're making a mad dash from one location to the other. That's the way my day is going.
Well, that's every day, isn't it?
When you're
a media mogul.
When you're a media mogul, sometimes, you know, I'm surprised you don't have your own entourage that just bars, you know, slams through the door, gets your chair ready, has your water bottle sitting out.
Well, I would if I could afford them.
It's a wonder if they didn't come in here and check the facility to make sure it's okay for Sean to come in first. I mean, a little Secret Service style. So, Jason Hildebrand out today. Sean, boss man, Whitfield comes in to fill in, and of course the ugly mug across the table spinning the tunes and turning my microphone up, that would be Mr. Scott Webb. So what was that? Was that a
That was just a little premature.
That was precursor to the to the break, later. Right? Yeah. So hey, we had a pretty doggone good short track race this past weekend, and you know, the first, I guess, 400 laps was, you know, okay, typical. I mean, you had some good battles, fast cars, but at the end is when it got really fun. And I guess the expectation, Sean, going into Martinsville is, you know, there's going to be some beating and banging. You know, there's going to be some good racing, but you never expect what's going to happen at the end like it did this past Sunday.
You're right about that. And, you know, most of the time we're so focused on the outcome of the race as far as who won the race, but that's not what took the headlines this week. What took the headlines is what happened three laps before the race was over.
Right.
And then it continued on pit road with the conversation between Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott. When I first saw it, where Denny was up behind him and then ended up causing him to spin and go into the wall, I thought, okay, well, maybe that's just a racing deal. And you could say, you know, short track racing at its best. But the more that I saw it, the more I looked at the replays and began to, you know, study it a little bit, I realized that, hey, this is something that could have been unavoidable. And, of course, the NASCAR Nation let it be known in a big way at Martinsville that they weren't happy about it. And there's one thing, too, that we've confirmed. We confirmed at Martinsville who is the most popular driver in NASCAR after Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Well, Mike Davis, you know, that does PR work for Dale Jr., said if Chase would have got out of the car and punched Denny Hamlin, he said that Junior's consecutive most popular driver streak could have been in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, if you watch Twitter, you saw several people, Reagan Smith being one of them, says, punch him right in the middle of, you know, while it's going on, he's on Twitter doing that.
Hey, listen, I've calmed down a little bit since Sunday because I was fired up. I was absolutely livid, rant ready, ready to go on one of those classic web tirades. I've calmed down a little since then, but, you know, that showed a lot of poise. I don't know if I was in that situation, I could have showed the same amount of poise that Chase, because I know I'm a little bit of a hothead.
I think
somebody would have been coming out of that car with bad intentions. And Chase was able to compose himself. Now, he wasn't happy. And obviously, he riled up the crowd a little bit, you know, kind of egging them on. But you could tell, man, the crowd was fired up. I mean, that's one thing we saw bumping and banging all day long. You know, at one point, Keselowski moved Elliott out of the way to take the race lead. But, I mean, he did it in the way that we're accustomed to seeing. It's, hey, I'm here, hey, I'm here, hey, I'm here. And if you don't get out, if you don't let me through, I'm gonna just shove you out of the way. Then there's punting somebody into the corner and somebody having your tires off the ground well before you even enter the corner. It's a whole nother ball game. And Denny Hamlin, who was eventually apologetic about what happened, but it took him some time to get to that point. But it made for a spectacular race. I've never seen that many cars wreck on the front stretch at Martinsville as we saw on Sunday. I don't think NASCAR could have asked for a better situation. And Junior tweeted on Periscope later that night that they couldn't print enough tickets if that was kind of the event that NASCAR put on a week-to-week basis. He said that place would have been jam-packed, and I absolutely agree.
Well, you've always been kind of an advocate of the short tracks, a lot more short tracks. So,
well, it's the staple of the sport. I mean, we all grew up watching. I mean, I know I came from Michigan. I went to Toledo Speedway, which is a half mile track. I went to Flat Rock. It was a quarter mile track. I mean, I grew up watching racing in that style, in that format. You know, I didn't grow up. I mean, sure, we all watch Talladega, and I don't, you know, I'm not saying we need to get rid of all the mile and a half. They serve their purpose. But when you see those kind of tracks week in and week out all the time, this is the type of racing that people grew up on and really appreciate. And that's what the fans want to see more of. And I think that's one reason why we've seen such an uptick in the popularity of road course, because it's the same. It has a lot of the same characteristics, and that's why I think we're seeing fans kind of want more of that style of track. We don't want to see. We complain all the time about cookie cutter tracks, and we don't want to see the same type of deal over and over and over again. I mean, this week we're going to Texas. It's a cookie cutter track. It looks a lot like Charlotte. We can throw two or three names into a hat right now, and I guarantee that one of those cars are probably going to win the race this week. We already know the outcome of that, but at places like Martinsville, you never know what's going to happen, and it's just great theater, and that's what the sport needs.
John, 15 years ago, before the chase and the playoffs, come about, do you think you would have had this time? Well, you didn't have this kind of racing. When you think about what exactly happened, you got Chase, you got Denny, you got Brad that are involved. Eventually, Harvick got involved at the end. It's one of the, with the playoff scenario like it is and the chase the way it was, you've got to win. You've got to be up front. It puts a lot of pressure, and you don't have just any average Joe wrecking. You've got playoff cars that are wrecking, and Chase Elliott really is out now unless he wins.
Yeah, the playoffs have certainly changed this sport as we know it. What happened Sunday with Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin was good for the sport. Everybody would probably tend to agree with that, except for Chase Elliott in the 2014.
Right.
But we need that competition. We need a villain. We need somebody besides just Kyle Busch that's the villain, the guy that always gets booed. Denny Hamlin may not like being in that position, but it's good for the sport. It's good for the business. And then when you see an up-and-coming driver like Blaney, yeah, going up against a veteran driver like Harvick, because they were battling it out through the day, they had some words after the race was over. That's what fans like. And you saw all the fans that were at Martinsville, they were going crazy when, you know, they thought there was a fight about to break out, or when Denny Hamlin said what he did and Chase said what he did. And that's what this sport needs. It needs more of this. I would love to see this type of drama going on every single week.
And I think you would have it if you had the short tracks like that, or if you had the road courses, because it makes them become closer. A couple of good guys that are good drivers, good cars that had good runs at Martinsville. Martin Truex Jr., which everybody always kind of equates him to the mile and a half.
That's because he's won six of them.
Right. And this year. So, you know, but you don't expect him to run good at Martinsville.
And he'll probably win on on Sunday.
No matter of
fact, I absolutely was a good run for him, and he really, to make this playoff thing interesting the next couple of weeks, I really think he needs to go ahead and win because he's going to get in on points. So if he goes ahead and wins, then he will open up a spot for one of these other drivers to potentially point their way in. And probably in the back of their mind, the drivers are thinking, if I can't win, I need Truex to win, right, to make sure he's taking a spot for sure, and it will allow somebody to get in on points. But it was a great run for them, and just shows you how far that team and organization has come at a track that he's not particularly good at. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when he got inside Bush there after all the shenanigans there, I thought the 78's going to win this race. Yeah. And that just shows you what a great job Kyle Busch did on that last lap and a half, really, to hold off Truex. But a great job by that organization, and just show you that this guy is now capable of winning absolutely anywhere, which if I was anybody else driving in the garage, I would be very concerned about. If this guy becomes more than just a mile and a half racer, then Katie bar the door, he could win 10, 12 times a year.
Right. I think that's going to be big. Sean, you mentioned Ryan Blaney earlier and how he's run. Probably one of the best drivers that's been in the Wood Brothers car, even though Trevor Bayne did win the Daytona 500, but didn't do much after that. This kid's good. You mentioned the altercation or semi-altercation. Wasn't afraid to throw like a little left jab after Harvick was walking off to get him.
Love it.
It seems like he's got, you know, what it takes to really do something in this sport. And when he's on the track, I hate to use the word savage because that's what my kids use, but that's the way he is. I mean, he's to the wall all the time.
Yeah, you're right. He is very aggressive. He is he's a young guy. He's a young driver that is trying to find his place in the sport. He's going to have to learn some lessons the hard way. Kevin Harvick's been a veteran driver now in the Cup Series for 16 years. And when you start playing around and messing around with a veteran driver, especially a guy like Harvick that will speak his mind and do it immediately, and there's no guessing where you're going to stand with him after he's done, this is a situation where a young driver can learn some valuable lessons, and you need to take those lessons and use them to mature yourself on the racetrack.
Now, are we talking about the same guy that pushed somebody from behind and started another fight at some point down
but
the line?
But that was years ago.
That was years ago. So that's the mature. We're talking about the mature Kevin Harvick.
The more mature Kevin Harvick.
The more mature
Kevin. The one with the second baby on the way.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. You know, I like that. That they both were, aggressively defending their point. I like that Harvick kind of gave him a little push to say, hey, here I am. I really like that Blaney said, I'm right here too, and I'm here to stay. I've been high on Blaney for a long time. I think that this next young generation of drivers are going to be terrific, and he's going to put himself in contention week in and week out. They had a good run. Can they find a way to get themselves to that final race? It's going to be tough. He's another one that would really like to probably see, if they can't win Texas or Phoenix, they would like to see Truex win one of those so they can have an opportunity, because we're kind of bunched outside of Busch, who's automatically qualified, and Truex in there. It will give Blaney a shot, but I was impressed by what he was able to do all weekend. He seems to be getting better and better. Chase Elliott seems to be getting better and better and better. And those guys are a threat if they can get to Homestead, but Chase especially has their work cut out for him.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to hear from the winner, Kyle Busch, when we come back from break, but as always, when my man Kyle Busch wins, I bring the M&M's. So we got some peanut butter M&M's. So
we've got those. M&Ms, I like it.
That's for you from M&M's.
Let's be honest. Was that from the leftover stash from last night?
No, that was not.
Or did you steal those?
No.
Or did you steal those from the kiddos on the way out the door?
When you are a super fan of Kyle Busch, you get those supplied to you, which then you can pass on. So
now, Scott, did you notice that these are the yellow bags? Because Kyle will be driving the caramel.
Yeah,
blue car the next three races of the season. So we'll wonder to see if Jamie comes in here with the blue bags.
Yeah, I want to see. Well, I want to see the good stuff.
The last time he won, what did I bring?
You did.
Yeah, I noticed that. That's what I was taking notice of.
We'll see.
That's what I did. All right, we'll hear from Kyle Busch when we come back.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi. Wassey Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Wassey Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
NASCAR returns to its roots at the short track of Martinsville Speedway.
Two-car incident, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Ty Dillon, both of whom have been struggling in the early laps this afternoon.
Brad Keselowski on the outside. You might have thought Logano would have let him cross over. Maybe not. Logano down to the inside of his teammate.
Brad has been fast since the start of the race. Here he is again, catching Jimmy Johnson.
Keselowski takes the lead. Kyle looking back to the bottom, trying to wedge his way in. They make contact. Keselowski bounces off Casey Kane.
Kyle Larson looks like he may have cut down a tire, spun, and into the inside safer barrier.
Logano, the left rear is down. He spins. Oh, Elliott spins! And he slams the outside retaining wall.
Wex has never won a short track race. Will he do it today? No, he can't hold off Kyle Busch. Kyle comes across the line. He will win the first Dana 500, and there's a massive crash behind them.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio and Racing Talk Radio, presented by Wassey Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
I'm Jamie Kyle. God, you sound terrible.
Dude. If you only know how I felt when I'm saying that. I'm Jamie Kyle, your host, co-host.
And I mean that with, you know, for with as much love and affection as I can send your way.
Yes.
Prayer. I was going to say, I could tell by the tone of his voice it was love in that message.
Yeah, it was love in the message.
It did kind of slow down. But you
sound
at me,
so. Awful.
Yeah.
Basically, you sound horrible.
Yeah. Is there any more adjectives you guys have that you can throw out?
You sound like
not
crap.
That the FCC will allow. That's what... I mean, you sound really bad.
Listen.
And you've definitely got a face for radio.
Well, that is true. Along with you and you. So I think we both got that covered.
Scott and I don't deny that.
Well, no. But you're on TV, Sean. So yeah. You should.
Well, that's only because. TV, baby.
Yeah.
That is only because they were desperate.
They don't pay you for your looks. I got you. They pay you for your content. So.
Oh, I thought it was my talent this whole time.
No, it's just content.
Wow.
You do a good job of coming
up
with
content. You know how
to take
the wind out of my sail.
Well, you guys bashed me for the first 25 seconds about my voice. So I am on the uphill swing, though. I've got some good antibiotics in me, so we should start seeing some improvements, which will be nice. And the crazy thing about it is what I told my doctor this morning. I said, you know, I kind of am in the talking business, right? So I'm in banking, so I have to talk all the time. And then I said, no, by the way, is there any way you can make my voice clear so I can be on the radio tonight? And he's like, I don't know about tonight, but next Wednesday you should be pretty good to go. So
now if Scott and I get what you've got in the next few days,
yeah, there's going to be...
We're going to get together. We're going to double team you. One of us is going to hold you down while the other one's punching.
That probably wouldn't be the first time that that's happened. So
I'm going to Kevin Harvick you.
Yeah. Wow. What, are you going to push Sean into me? Is that what you're going to do?
I mean, whatever it takes, man. Yeah. Long as there's some fisticuffs.
Yeah. Do whatever you got to do.
All right, let's talk about Kyle Busch for a second. I mean, the guy has solidly put himself now into the final four at Homestead. You know, I kind of thought the way his year's gone that this would kind of be his year. He drives a Toyota, so I think that's probably helped him a little bit, along with Martin Truex Jr. Those two guys have dominated the year. I really feel something about Kyle Busch and Homestead because he's been a champion before. He's won down there. And if you put that guy, it's kind of like Earl Barbin said, you know, about Jimmy Johnson. If he sees the front, he's going to get there. And Kyle's about the same way.
Absolutely. You know, Kyle Busch is we've always said, it's probably the most talented driver in the sport. And when he has good stuff and you know, they overcame some mistakes. You know, he's had some issues. They've actually switched pit crews. He's the 19 crew is actually pitting for him now. So, you know, they've had some obstacles to overcome.
Easy for
but,
you to say.
Yeah, it is easy. But, you know, it's hard for me to talk about Kyle Busch and keep it on the – but, you know, there's
I
no
– your M&Ms too.
Thanks. But, you know, there's no doubt that the guy is in position and he accomplished what he needed to accomplish. Now he's got two races to kind of – you know, get ready for Homestead in a couple of weeks.
He probably left Martinsville Speedway feeling more confident than he's felt in a long time for two reasons. Number one, he has secured his spot in the Final Four at Homestead for the championship playoffs by winning the race. And number two, he confirmed that he's not the only one in the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series that can be booed by 15 or 20,000 people.
Imagine how weird that was for him when he took the checkered flag. He gets around. I don't even think he did his normal burnout with a bow and anything else.
Well, he couldn't do his normal burnout because there was 25 cars on the front stretch that were piled up. It looked like Demolition Derby had taken place.
And then he gets out of the car to celebrate, and there's like nobody looking at him.
I actually won the race.
I did think somebody threw a bottle or something like that, because he said real classy during the conversation. So somebody had to do something to kind of keep him going.
First of all, he needs to not worry about how classy or not classy people are. If you hear him talk after not winning a race or getting wrecked out of a race,
not talk.
Yeah, it's congratulations to Kyle Busch. And. And they did what they needed to do. They put themselves in position to win and found a way to get it done and punched that ticket. And he'll be one of the final four competing for a championship in Homestead.
Listen to this. Let's hear from the backstory winner at Martinsville, Kyle Busch.
It was a good day for us. We weren't great, but we just kind of kept ourselves running up front all day long. Awesome pit stops kept us up there as well, too. And being able to have a really good M&M's Toyota today, it was I thought there when we got the lead that it was going to be our day the rest of the way, but just wasn't meant to be. We just kind of lost the handle on it there right at the end of the stage two and just wasn't quite able to get it back. A couple of those other guys really got good going there at the end. Brad, the 22, the 24, and so it was just chaos kind of there at the end and just what all was happening with those restarts. So you just kind of had to stay on your toes and try to keep your nose clean, kind of try to stay out of trouble. And fortunately, we were able to keep our back bumper clean and clear and then, race for the win there on that last restart with the 11 and was able to bring it home. So real proud of all of our guys, our whole team, and being able to get ourselves another opportunity to go race for a championship here this year.
Amazing thing is he got that done on the high side, which is kind of what you thought would be difficult to do.
And I said it earlier. I thought, once the 78 got inside of him there, we've seen that move all day long. If they were able to get inside, coming off that turn, and Truex talked about it. He said he just didn't have any front grip, and they just couldn't get couldn't generate any power coming off the turn, and Busch was able to hold him off there. But, when I saw him get underneath him, I'm like, man, I've seen this story all day long. Yeah. If you're able to get underneath, you're going to find a way to pull that off. Now, I don't know, could he have done that for 3, 4, 5 laps? I don't know, but he didn't have to. He put himself in position to win, and when it was time to get the checker flag, he was out front.
That's it. All right, let's take a look at our Monster Energy Series point standings. Those are brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. Listen, some people drive by a house and you see that sign sitting in the yard, and you really don't know who that person is, or if they're any good at selling a house. Well, I can tell you Stephanie is. I've seen her do it numerous times. Several of our friends or whatever have used her. She's trustworthy. She'll answer her phone. She gives you her cell phone and her business phone. She doesn't care if you call her during the day or at night. She'll answer the phone. I've been there when she's answered the phone at 9 o'clock at night. So make sure you give her a call, 473-9545, 650-9429. She can help you sell your house or help you purchase your dream home. Scott, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. You sound a little better.
That hurt.
I don't. You're getting there. We're gonna pray for you tonight. And hopefully everything will come out. It's now time for your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup standings. After the first Data 500, Martin Truex Jr. is still your points leader, as a 17-point lead over Kyle Busch, who has punched his ticket for Homestead. Brad Keselowski's third. Kevin Harvick, fourth. Jimmy Johnson, fifth. Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott are your playoff contenders. And that is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standings.
Brought to you by Stephanie Painter, Cry Like Realtors. The biggest financial transaction you'll ever do is selling a home and buying a home. Make sure you get somebody you trust. Stephanie Painter, 473-9545, 650-9429. A little bit of interesting news, Sean, the other day, or I guess it was yesterday on Twitter, as it looks like Smithfield and Richard Petty have kind of made up with each other and extended that one more year into 2018 with Bubba Wallace.
Wow, I haven't seen that.
That's breaking
news.
That's
breaking news.
That's what you get on Racing Talk Radio.
There
it is.
I guess you're right.
Breaking news.
Now, what happened to the potential partnership between Smithfield and Stuart Haas Racing?
I guess that probably Smithfield realized that when you make a handshake deal with Richard Petty, you better stick to it or it's going to be bad, because
they don't call him the king for nothing.
They don't. They so don't. That's going
to. I didn't know if maybe they stepped up with more money and they're doing something with both organizations.
Well, you know, the smart thing to do with Richard Petty's really good hire in Bubba Wallace is to jump on that bandwagon, because, you know, he's going to bring a lot of fans to the table where Eric Almirola didn't. So I think that's part of a reason in my thought that that they would have done that.
What did y'all think about the announcement with Bubba Wallace and Richard Petty?
I love it.
I think it's time to try somebody different in that car. You know, obviously I think their affiliation, and they haven't announced who they're going to be affiliated with next. It's going to be important because obviously what they've been doing in the past, that car has not been very competitive. I think Amarillo's only win was a rain shortened Daytona race. Yeah. So, you know, that car needs to be more competitive. I think he's a very talented driver. We've seen that. I mean, it doesn't help that he brings a different type of fan to the team and to the sport. So I think it's important for him to be involved in the sport. I mean, he's a great follow on Twitter. I think that's the kind of driver that will do and fare well. But they've, from a competitive standpoint, they've just got to be better. Mm-hmm. Or it'll be another a blip on the radar, and we'll be talking about him running. If they're running 20 to 25th all the time, then we're not spending time on this show talking about them.
One other thing before we go to break, and we'll ask Alex Hayden this on the other side of the break, is that they asked Richard Petty if he was going to be back in the Ford, and he said announcement is pending.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, so we don't know if there's something
it means
there.
It's something's up, because, you know, obviously if they were just going to be in a Ford and affiliated with one of the Ford teams now, you would think that would not be that big a secret. They've been kind of secretive about the whole thing.
When I heard the announcement last week of Bubba Wallace, I thought, you know, this is perfect when you look at the business aspect of NASCAR. This was a good move on Richard Petty's part. He is a good driver of what we've seen so far of his career. But this is the first African-American that has been in the sport full-time, I think, since 1972. I believe is the timeline. So there's going to be companies that are going to possibly want to be associated with this team because of the diversity. And there's no question about it. To add to what you said, Scott, it's going to bring some possibly new fans to the sport. So I think when you look at it overall for the health and the well-being and the business side of the sport, it was a great move.
It was a great move. And kudos to Richard Petty, one of the old school racers that somebody might consider wouldn't make a hire like that, makes a hire like that and gets a good driver in Bubba Wallace. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Alex Hayden, friend of the show from MRN Radio, right after the break.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios and Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, struggling through a show. Good thing here is
man, you sound terrible.
I have two
you
talkers.
Still sound terrible.
Two talkers in Sean Whitfield.
He looks bad, too.
Whitfield
awful.
Media Group,
you're
boss
awful.
Man. I'm just going to continue talking through you.
And can we talk to Alex Hayden? Because I'm tired of hearing you.
Yeah, that's Scott Webb running his running his mouth over there. Alex, I have been battling what they call tonsillitis. I think I don't know why I still have my tonsils, to be honest with you, why my parents didn't take them out when I was or get them taken out when I was younger. But anyway.
I think he's soft, Alex.
I don't think – if I was soft, I wouldn't be here.
Get yourself an ice cream spoon, one of those long-handled ice cream spoons, and a pair of – you know, one of those old junk drawer scissors that your parents used to cut the dog crap out of the dog's fur. I mean, get a pair of scissors and a big old ice cream spoon, and you can handle the tonsils yourself.
While we're doing that, we're going to get him a pacifier, right. Too.
Yeah.
No, what I was thinking is you just gave my wife an idea of something she could do, which might not be a good thing. So, Alex, I appreciate you joining us. I know you probably had one of the colder times of being at a racetrack this year, being at Martinsville. It seemed like it was pretty chilly up there, not just weather-wise, but also maybe some feelings.
Yeah, you know, I love the cold weather, but I don't like going from 81 to 39 basically overnight. That I need a little adjustment there. I need to ease into the cooler temperatures. But it was cold in Martinsville. What made it worse is that we had a consistent 25 mile an hour wind with gusts of 40. So that's one of the things that, that people didn't realize. It was just downright cold. But you're right, man. What a race, and what momentum the sport has now based off of that. And you're right. There's some hurt feelings. There's some hacked off drivers right now. Not just one, but many hacked off drivers. So I saw Kevin Harvick get in Blaney's face after the race. I was right there when that happened. Obviously, Hamlin and Elliott, and then Keselowski's hacked off at Chase Elliott for basically wrecking him. And yeah, there's a lot of upset people, but you know, that's the joys of Martinsville. And I think one of the things that added to it is the format that we're racing. Stage points are valuable, so everybody was going for those. And then obviously for the playoff drivers, a win and you go to Homestead Miami Speedway as one of the championship four, that's massive. I mean, that's huge. That enables Kyle Busch now to go to Texas and Phoenix to just go all out and win the race. If he doesn't win it, who cares? He's going to try to win it just to prevent everybody else from doing so. But yeah, what a great weekend, what a great race, and certainly it's nice to talk about racing on the racetrack as opposed to coming back on Monday morning and talking about what the umpires decided to do.
Right.
Alex, when you describe all the different emotions and the hard feelings and so forth, it sounds like to me that you have just described what is going to be an outstanding Texas race and what is going to be an outstanding final three races of the 2017 season. Is it safe to say in your mind that Sunday at Martinsville automatically declared who is going to be the 2018 most popular driver after Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
I think so. I think no question about it. And it's something I've been witnessing throughout the season more and more. Especially, it really hit me in the face at Talladega just a few weeks ago. Every time Chase Elliott made a move in the draft to go to the outside, even if he was picking up one spot in the back half of the top 10, I'm telling you, the fans rose to their feet and were going nuts. And that was the same case at Martinsville. Every time Chase Elliott made a move, the fans just lost their mind, let alone when he moved Keselowski out of the way with a handful of laps left and took the lead. I thought they were going to tear the place down. The only other person that I've seen get that reaction is Dale Earnhardt Jr. So it is, I think, a changing of the guard, no question about it. Everybody knows Earnhardt's only got three races left in his Cup career as a full-time driver, and Chase Elliott is the heir apparent, no doubt about it.
Martin Truex Jr. had a strong showing, Alex, on Sunday. Should race fans be scared that if they figure out how to start winning some of these short tracks combined with what they can do at mile and a half, that this dude just may take over the sport?
They need to be very concerned. I mean, Martin Truex Jr., yeah, he had the benefit of the late race shenanigans by Keselowski getting out of the way. And then, of course, Hamlin and Elliott with their deal. So there's three spots that Truex inherited, but it doesn't matter. He was running inside the top five for the better part of the race. And it's mile and a half Martin. I mean, that's all he is. So I expect him to go to Texas and win the thing again. But yeah, they need to be concerned, because if he can now consistently run the short tracks and the toughest short track we go to in Martinsville Speedway and do it and come home with a runner up finish, this is a pretty impressive season that Truex is putting together and that entire race team, because we know they're good on the intermediate tracks. Now they flex the muscle on the short tracks. He had a chance to win the Daytona 500, so he can run, obviously, in the draft as well. Martin Truex Jr. and Furniture Row Racing are really, really the cream of the crop right now.
Alex, as far as silly season goes, we had a couple of announcements about a month ago. One happened to be with Smithfield and Richard Petty, where they weren't seeing eye to eye on the handshake deal. That seemed to have, you know, kind of gotten better, I guess, in the last couple of days. And Smithfield has agreed to go for 2018. Is that a result of Petty going out and hiring Bubba Wallace, or is that Smithfield saying, yeah, we better honor the King's handshake agreement?
I think it's a combination of both, mostly the second half of your statement. I think it's the King Richard Petty, and the King branded with Smithfield. They moved product off the shelf, Smithfield did, because of Richard Petty. there's concrete evidence that they found that was the case. So, yeah, they wanted to mend fences there, no question about it. So I don't expect Smithfield to be on Bubba Wallace's car. I don't expect Smithfield to be branded on the 43 car next year. I do think they're going to honor their commitment. They're still going to have a relationship with the King Richard Petty, and who wouldn't want that relationship from a business-to-business standpoint? But I fully expect Smithfield to be on the quarter panels and potentially the hoods of not just one, but maybe three out of the four Stewart Haas Racing Fords next year. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing that they were able to get that nasty public dispute taken care of, and I like the way Smithfield did it. They went public with it. Just like the dispute went, they went public with the fix of it as well. So I think that's a good thing.
Alex, we know Kyle Busch is going to be one of the final four. For all practical purposes, we can just about assume that Martin Truex Jr. is going to be there. With Texas and Phoenix left to go ahead and give us your prediction of who you think is going to be the other two drivers in the final four.
Gosh, you know, it seems like it changes every week for me, and I know that's wishy-washy. I mean,
you sound like Jamie Kyle now.
Right? I had Logano winning the whole championship at the start of the season. See how that's working out for me? But I don't know. I really like the way Keselowski's coming on, and he's always run well at Texas. They've been sneaky fast, and I say sneaky fast because every time we go to a mile and a half, all we talk about is Truex. So he's kind of flown under the radar there. He's been pretty good at Phoenix as well. Obviously, Kevin Harvick runs Phoenix better than anybody, so maybe Harvick can win Phoenix and Harvick can punch his ticket to Homestead. I honestly don't know. There are so many good teams right now, and the way this is shaping up, that I do believe Truex will be in the Final Four. I believe not only will he win Texas, but he would have gotten in on points alone because of the dominating season that they've put together. But I think Truex wins Texas to go on to be the second driver. Realistically, the other two, I think, are a complete toss-up. I think you got legitimate contenders across the board of the drivers that are left.
When I look at the entire final few races, I think that Jimmy Johnson and 48 team is certainly a strong contender to win at Texas. You can never count those guys out. Anytime you start to count out the 48 team, they come back and surprise you. Even if they are in a deficit position, they always manage to figure out a way to come back. So I'm going to go with them for Texas. And then for Phoenix, your comments about Kevin Harvick is dead on it. Kevin Harvick has shown that Phoenix is a track that he does very well in. He's won a number of races there. And so my expectations are going to be Harvick and Jimmy Johnson.
I like the Harvick, I do, and I think you can never count out Jimmy and Chad Knaus in a 48 bunch. You never can. However, I'm a little leery of them. I wouldn't be surprised if they won the Final Four, but I'm a little leery because certain drivers and teams do so well at certain racetracks, and I expect that Jimmy Johnson, with his record at Martinsville Speedway, and that being basically all about driver rhythm and driver getting the car around the racetrack as opposed to aerodynamics, as opposed to mechanical grip. I expected Jimmy Johnson to be a major player for the win at Martinsville. He was a lap down, for crying out loud, late in the race, and he was just behind all day. And that speaks volumes to me that if that race team, the 48 team, can be that far off at Martinsville Speedway, arguably his best racetrack, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned about that whole organization in Hendrick Motorsports. I mean, we know Casey Kane and Dale Earnhardt Jr. haven't run all that well this entire season. Chase Elliott's the leading driver over there at Hendrick right now, but they still have been, and I'm not saying they're off and slow. That's not what I'm saying about Hendrick. I'm saying that they're just a fraction off right now, just a fraction. And Chase Elliott, I think what happened the other night at Martinsville Speedway, I'm a little bit on the fence with Chase because we all know professional athletes, when you face adversity and an opportunity to get something major done that he had the other night and come up short, you're going to go one of two ways. You're either going to come up fired up more than ever and be more motivated than ever and have a fantastic race. That could happen. Or you kind of get a little ruffled and your focus is a little shifted and jaded because of what happened to you, and your confidence might be wavering just a bit. That happens sometimes to professional athletes. I'm on the fence about Chase Elliott and Jimmy Johnson. although it's Jimmy Johnson, he's won 7 championships. It's kind of hard to put him in that category. But as of right now, I don't think Hendrick Motorsports is at the exact level that the Toyotas are.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. The Johnson thing concerns me. Blaney has been, and Elliott both. These two young guys, Alex, have really made a mark on the season this year. What has to happen for you know, other than a win, for these guys to show up and be in the Final Four at Homestead at the end of the year?
Well, I think Ryan Blaney is just a fantastic story this year, and that whole race team. Yes, it's the Wood Brothers race team, but that is all Team Penske chassis. That's all obviously Team Penske employees and engineers. Jeremy Bowens is from Team Penske, the crew chief. But it is still a Wood Brothers race team, so that's a really cool alliance that they have going on there. Blaney has more than shown me that he could be a Final Four driver based off of what we've seen. We know he runs well at intermediate tracks. Could he win Texas? He could. Absolutely, he could with the right circumstances. You got to beat Truex, though. And based off of what we saw at Martinsville, now I know Ryan Blaney can drive any kind of racetrack. He was spectacular at Martinsville. He's great on the intermediate tracks. He's good on super speedways. Ryan Blaney's a legitimate Final Four contender, and I think it's great. I think it's great for the sport, but for Blaney to be able to be one of the Final Four and the combination with Penske and the Wood Brothers, I think it'd be a spectacular story. I got to tell you, we're not supposed to have favorites, and we're not supposed to have rooting interests, but I'm telling you, the Wood Brothers and the history that they have, I would love to see that historic number 21 car trying to win a championship.
And I'm going
to
tell you, Blaney's got a pretty good left kidney punch, too. That was pretty sharp what he put on Harvick the other night. So that was good. All right, so you're not going this week because you're actually getting a week off. I expect to see Twitter kind of lit up with some new songs on the keyboard while you have the weekend off.
Or that
yeah,
or golf.
I will.
I miss the golf photos, personally. I would hope that with Phoenix coming up soon, that maybe now last year we talked to you, you guys go out there a little early and kind of hang out and party a little bit in Phoenix and no golf. But I'm needing some Alex Hayden golf. It's the only thing that's getting me through these cool fall days.
You and me both. Realistically, I'm not going to get on a golf course until the early part of December because. You're right, Phoenix. We always go out early Thursday morning. We're in Phoenix, Arizona, by 10 a.m. Phoenix time on Thursday. But it's a tradition for a handful of us with MRN. We land and go straight to Lake Swarrow, way out in the middle of the desert. Yeah, there's a huge lake out there, and we rent a boat and we just float around in the desert on the lake. And it's that's kind of our last chance to just wind down and have a quiet day, just relaxing. So. No golf in Phoenix. No golf this weekend. Saturday, I'll be in Raleigh at Carter Finley Stadium. We got Clemson and NC State, two top 25 teams.
One.
I'll be in attendance there. I'm being Joe football fan. I'm gonna have my red and white Wolf. Even though I'm not a Wolfpack person, I'm going for the Wolfpack this weekend, mostly because my friends are giving me the ticket. And it's gonna be a good time. Looking forward to just being a college football fan this weekend and just kind of regrouping and getting ready for Phoenix. And then Phoenix will get straight into the championship week down in South Florida, which doesn't suck when we're in Key Largo
right.
for 6 days.
And I fully expect a phone call standing in the Gulf of Mexico like you did last year.
Yes, count on it. It will happen. I promise you it will happen. I know you guys are getting short on time, and you mentioned Philly season a while ago. I'm going to throw something at you that's kind of floating around.
Uh-oh, breaking news.
You might want to store in the back of your head. This is what they call a nugget. So, we know that the 10-card Stewart Haas Racing back, I guess you could say 2 to 3 months ago, everybody assumed it was going to be Eric Almirola driving that car. There's a reason why they haven't made that announcement. Because we know Danica's not coming back. We know Almirola's not back in the 43. We know Smithfield's jumped ship and gone from the 43 to Stewart Haas. So everybody assumed Almirola. There's another name that's popped up, and it's starting to gain some momentum in the rumor mill around the garage area, and it's a driver who is not in the sport right now.
Biffle.
But we'll come with a major sponsor because he's still on TV commercials right now for that that company. So he's a former driver. His name's Brian Bickers. Pay attention. Hearing Brian Bickers' name to the 10 car with Xarelta, that blood clot medication that he is still doing new commercial. Matter of fact, they just put a new commercial out here in the last month or so, still promoting Brian Bickers as a race car driver. So there may be some more to that. If he's got a sponsor in Xarelta coming along, and I think that, that adds to things at Stuart Haas Racing. His name is in the rumor mill. Again, strictly rumor, but don't be surprised if Brian Bickers driving the 10 car next year.
I don't say this in a bad way and mean nothing by it, but if he were to have or were to develop another blood clot while he's driving and they're the sponsor, that would be a problem.
Yeah. You know, that's
only Jamie would think like that.
Yeah. Thanks, Jamie. Thanks for thanks for raining on everybody's parade.
That's what
there.
You're saying that you're preventing, and then it doesn't happen. Then
Alex, usually we do better radio than this.
yeah. You're the guy that gives the Hershey's minis out instead of the full size Hershey bars, aren't you? I mean,
that is true.
I am that kind of guy. So, Alex, man, we appreciate it as always, and I hope you have a good weekend off, and then look forward to hearing your voice come Phoenix in a couple of weeks.
Thanks so much. It's always so much fun to come on with you guys, and hey, three to go here in NASCAR.
That's perfect. Alex Hayden, appreciate it very much. Have a good week, okay?
You too.
Perfect. Thanks. That's Alex Hayden with MRN Radio. Always great to have Alex come on. Brings a lot of nuggets and brings a lot of information.
Oh, that was good.
So for really good for Alex. And you can hear him on 101.3. Not this week because PRN's got it, but next week you can hear him on 101.3 The Buzz.
You can hear the race on 101.3.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Well, he's part of that. So yeah. That is good. All right. I'm done. All right. We'll go to break. When we come back, Power Rankings brought to you by Whitfield Media Group and Picks to Win. We'll be right back.
Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios and Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hawassi Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. Joining us, boss man, Sean Whitfield, filling in for Jason Hildebrand. Ugly Mug, of course, across the table. It's a pretty cool song, Scott Webb.
This is from a man, my fellow Def Leppard fan over there. Little Tim McGraw, Def Leppard.
Was that me, Def Leppard?
No, that's him. Sean? He's
yeah,
a Def
for you
Leppard
older
fan.
Guys, yeah, I get that. I mean, if it was early 90s,
call
I'd
it
be in.
Distinguished, knowledgeable,
experienced. We're pretty good at adjectives today. So, all right, we need to go.
That is different for me. Usually I have trouble just with regular
or
just speaking
standings,
English.
You know?
Yeah, standings.
All right.
Some days it's better than others.
Let's go to our power rankings. They're brought to you by Whitfield Media Group. We really appreciate Whitfield Media Group being a fine sponsor of the power rankings for Racing Talk Radio. Week in and week out, they really pony up to make sure that they make these things go like they do. We can't thank Whitfield Media Group enough. Make sure you tune in to all their shows. I mean, I think there's 24 of them now. So there's six shows or seven now, Sean, right?
There's a total of eight.
Total of eight. Thanks. They just added one, yeah. So eight shows. You can get a couple of them here on the bus.
Actually, tomorrow morning. Well, no. We're on Tuesday Media mornings Marvel. At 8. Marketing Mix Radio here on The Buzz Tuesday or Wednesday mornings at 8 in the No Radio, and then right here with you guys at 5 o'clock every Wednesday.
Yep. And if you want to hear his voice again, talk NASCAR, you can tune in
105
Thursdays, 105.5.
So Rio, baby.
That's
Revan TV.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm going to go to the power rankings.
Yeah, bring me to the highlight of my day right now.
This is the highlight of your day. So, of course, if I had to choose between the 18 or the 78 to put in number one,
you
got M&M's. That should explain it. So, the 18, number one, 78, Martin Truex, number two. I moved Elliott up to number three just because I loved what I saw out of him getting in Denny's
for no
face.
Other, you know, not for race results or anything like that. Just
right.
For
that's it. And okay. So the 11 was in my power rankings last week because he did what he did to the 24 and then acted the way he did. And by the way, Sean, isn't this your like 60,000th radio broadcast since you've been broadcasting radio?
You know, I've lost track. It's been so many.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I know for Denny, it was his 10,000th race that he had run in, and they're still trying to figure out the math on that. So that's for
there's
you,
Hildebrand. There's been some great – for those of you that are on Twitter, there's been some great stuff on Twitter about his 10,000th – Denny Hamlin's 10,000th race.
He had to run so many races by the time he was 7 years old. It was kind of funny. All right, so and Landon Castle for pointing that out, which was great. All right, I got the number two, Brad Keselowski, is in my fourth spot. And then, you know, you got to go with seven-time. Jimmy Johnson can't take him out when it comes.
I don't understand the seven-time love. Guy was lapped at a track he's won at nine times or whatever.
Predominantly, who's been my two drivers all year?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're loyal to the bitter end.
I've stuck. All right, we're running late. Sean, I cannot wait to hear what you have to say about
Kyle Rickards. I can't either. Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson, Ryan Blaney, and Matt Kenseth.
Holy crap, he changed it up from the lineup that is on the point standings.
I'm going to pull for Matt Kenseth until the end of the year. I feel sorry for him.
Well, that's a good reason.
He needs to find a ride. He needs to find a ride.
Scott Webb.
I've got 78, 18, the 2. I do like what the 24 did this week. And I put the 11 in there. They had a great run, and you know, other than punting. And plus, I wanted to put the 24 in front of the 11, so
that.
See if there could be another accident in my power rankings.
Right, to see if the 24 flipped over the 11 and went to number 5. All right, picks to win. I'm going with what Alex had said. It's either A or B for Chase Elliott. I'm going A. He comes out fired up, and he wins at Texas. Sean Whitfield.
I'm going to go with Jimmy Johnson. I'm going to support that 48 team.
You're going to roll the dice.
We'll have you on the fan
even
club.
Though he's been horrible on the repave. But, hey, whatever. I'm going to take the obvious winner this week, Martin Truex Jr.
You put a lot of thought into this
one. Yeah, I didn't put a lot of thought into that one. I'm like, well, it's a mile and a half. He's won six of them. Martin Truex Jr.
Oh, well.
See, that one's really going out on a limb.
It is going out on a limb. That's why I used my best stuff on that one.
I think he called two or three people to get the advice before he put it down. So, or maybe he just looked back at the season and saw who won at the mile and a half. All right, storylines coming out of Texas real quick. Can you think of anything?
Nothing comes to my mind except for the fact that this is race number two of the final three races.
That's Captain Obvious, Sean Whitfield,
right
there.
And this season's about over. I mean, the pressure, the stress, all that is bigger than ever.
Yeah.
We're about to know who's going to be the champion here soon.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch. Weber, anything?
No, I mean That right there covered it all.
I was going to say, I don't think he can beat that.
There's nothing else left to say.
Scott's going to have to do his homework.
Right.
That.
That's why he's the media mogul he is, Sean Whitfield. All right. Thanks, Sean, for joining us today. It's been great. Thanks, Alex Hayden, for coming on. Make sure you tune in next week. We'll break down Texas and start discussing Phoenix. Thank you very much. Have a good week.
This has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Collins, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.